In his State of the State address on Tuesday, Governor Walker said Wisconsin's economy is strong and that more people were employed last year than at any point in the state's history.
This contrasts with the view of some Democrats who say Wisconsin is lagging behind in job growth. Other critics say Wisconsin's economy is buoyed up by the national economic recovery.
Here's what the governor had to say about the state of Wisconsin's jobs.
In fact, our biggest challenge is not creating jobs, but finding people to fill them. We went from a focus on jobs, 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 to talking about workforce, workforce, workforce. That will be my top priority for 2017 and beyond.
Stephen Deller is here with us now. He is professor and community development specialist in the Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics at UW-Madison. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Governor Walker, in his State of the State address this week, he made the case that the economy in Wisconsin is looking good, he says. Unemployment is down, the tax burden is down, there's more money in people's pockets. Overall, do you agree with that?
In a nutshell, yes. The economy finally has started to pick up. I think the frustration has been that Wisconsin has continued to lag behind the national economy. Even when you look at some of the indicators that Wisconsin's actually doing good in, we're lagging behind the national economy. Now, having said that, Wisconsin needs to make a decision. Are we satisfied with the slow rate of growth?
And what does that mean? What does the answer mean?
Well, it depends. I think one of the problems is that we've finally gotten to a point where we have more jobs in the state of Wisconsin than we had before the Great Recession started. If we had grown at the national rate or the same rate as some of our peers, we'd have a lot more jobs in the state. I think one of the questions that is lost is the nature of the jobs that we're generating. A lot of the jobs, we're almost getting a bifurcation of the labor market here and the types of jobs that are being generated. We have job growth at the low end of the scale, employment scale, in terms of education requirements, skills, experience, and the type of pay and the benefits. And we're also getting job growth at the higher end. The problem is that most of the job growth is at that lower end.
We had Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling giving the remarks after the speech. She said wages have declined. Poverty is at a 30-year high. She didn't see the rosy picture that the governor was painting. Do you agree with some of what she had to say?
That's true. If we look at the most recent data over the past 6 months or so, we're finally starting to see wages starting to increase a little bit, which is a positive sign. But again, we've got that kind of group of jobs being generated at the low end of the spectrum and a small group of jobs being generated at the higher end of the spectrum. So that average is getting pulled up a little bit, but it's because of the performance of the well-to-do.
And looking at the matching the workforce to the jobs, matching people to the jobs that are available, the governor said he can find anyone a job. What does that mean for the economy when we shift the focus from creating jobs to looking at the workforce and their fitness for the jobs?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is, again, go back to the type of the jobs that we're generating in this state. Yeah, I can get a job if you're willing to work minimum wage with no benefits. There are a lot of jobs like that that are being generated, and they're a little bit above the minimum wage. I mean, like in Wisconsin, in Madison, for example, the minimum wage is irrelevant because the labor's so tight here. But if you want an entry-level position that pays fairly low with minimal, if any, benefits, yeah, there's a lot of jobs out there. And that's where a lot of the labor shortage is occurring, is that these jobs are simply not sustainable jobs.
We're talking with Steve Deller right now, economist from UW-Madison, looking at the economic state of things as painted by Governor Walker in his State of the State address and what it means going forward. Another line from Governor Walker's State of the State address, Steve, he said property taxes as a percentage of personal income are the lowest they've been since World War II. What do you make of that assessment?
Well, that's true, but it's come at a price. Look at the transportation system that we have. One of the biggest ticket items that a lot of local governments have is the road system. And the road system is really starting to fall behind. So, yeah, we have lower taxes, but it's coming at the price of our infrastructure starting to fall apart. We also have the problem that a lot of our property tax dollars goes to K-12 education. And a lot of schools are really, really suffering. And here's, again, we're getting this divide. Schools can go to referendum to bypass the property tax levy limit. And those tend to be passing in communities that are a little bit wealthier. Poorer communities, more rural communities, they just are really kind of caught between a rock and a hard place.
I want to pick up on where you started there with the infrastructure in Wisconsin. What do you think happens to the economy when that is the case? Is there a direct correlation between infrastructure that's not kept up to date, not maintained, and the health of the economy?
Oh, there's a direct link. When I moved to Wisconsin over 20 years ago, Wisconsin had a reputation of having some of the best roads in the U.S. But again, because of budget cuts, because of delayed maintenance, because of the property tax levy limits, our infrastructure, our road system in particular, is really taking a hit. The problem that we face is that as the roads are deteriorating, the cost of maintaining them goes up exponentially. You can think of it as the roof on your house. If there's a couple of bad shingles, it's fairly inexpensive to replace it. But when you have limited funds or no funds or declining funds, you naturally go, well, I'm going to delay. I'm going to wait. Well, what happens to your roof? At a certain point, you end up having to replace the entire roof. If you wait even longer than that, you get water damage into the house. You got to repair that now. So this kind of idea of lowering taxes, isn't that great. It comes at a price, and that price is going to be failing infrastructure, a drag on the economy, and more cost, higher taxes down the road to fix it.
What about the idea that if people have more money in their pockets because their tax burden is lower, they put that money back into the economy and rising tide lifts all boats?
It depends on who you're giving the tax cuts to. If you're giving the tax cuts to the high end, the kind of the supply side argument, let's give the wealthy a tax cut because then they'll invest in the economy. That's not necessarily true. We've been trying to do that since the Reagan administration, and it simply does not work. If you give tax cuts to lower income, say increasing the earned income tax credit, or lowering the tax margins on the lowest income, that has a stronger effect on the local economy because lower income people will spend that money, whereas higher income people, they tend to sit on it.
And before we get our callers in on this, something else Governor Walker said during his State of the State, I don't know the exact wording, but basically he said we're better off. Everybody's better off than they were 4 or 8 years ago. True?
If you look back to where we were before the Great Recession hit, yes, we are finally better off. But if you compare us to our neighbors, other than Michigan, thank God for Michigan because it makes us look good. But if you compare us to our neighbors and you compare us to the national economy, we're not doing that good.
Stephen Deller is with us right now. He's an economist from UW-Madison, and we're taking a look at Governor Walker's State of the State address given this week and looking at the economic outlook that he painted and getting another take on that right now.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What does Wisconsin's economy look like from where you stand? Have Governor Walker's economic policies, as you see it, helped or hurt you, your community, your local government? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing our conversation about Wisconsin's economy and trying to get a snapshot of its future given Governor Walker's plans in his State of the State address.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you rate Wisconsin's economy and economic progress under Governor Walker? Do you see a lot of job opportunities out there, maybe jobs for you? And do you see, if you're an employer, do you see a shortage of workers, as the governor was suggesting was out there? Call 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
Stephen Deller stays with us. He's an economist with UW-Madison. And let's go first to Pete in Green Bay. Pete, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to call in. I didn't hear the governor's speech last night, but I heard your comments earlier saying that he's saying that everybody's better off than they were before he took office. That's not the truth for me as a state employee. I haven't had a real pay raise in since he took office, and before that we were taking furlough days. So I'm way worse off. Paying a whole bunch of my pay now is going towards things like retirement and health care, and I have no discretion over that. I made more money, I'm sure, in real terms 10 years ago than I do today.
Pete, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate that. And Steve, what do you say to Pete, state employee?
Well, as a fellow state employee, I'm sympathetic to your position. I do a lot of workshops around Wisconsin and talking about the local economy. And one of the things that I'm always kind of surprised at is that when you get into a lot of communities, the public sector oftentimes is one of the biggest employers. When you get into smaller rural communities, it's oftentimes the public school system. And when you look at the lack of pay raises, you look at actual cuts in real income, as Pete pointed out, there's a massive change to the benefits program, which resulted in a large reduction in take-home pay. Those have actually hit these small rural communities in a very negative way. And it's a real eye-opener for a lot of rural residents, community residents across the state, to realize that a lot of the jobs in the public sector are actually not bad-paying jobs. And the current policies are essentially taking a very negative impact on those jobs.
Pete, thanks a lot for calling. And we'll take another call now from Derek in Merrill. Hi, Derek. Derek, you there? And he just dropped. We missed that. And let's take Jerry next in Armstrong Creek. Jerry, hi.
Hi. I just want to piggyback on what that public worker said. Actually, Governor Walker increased taxes by over $1 billion when he took and cut the middle class, which all the public workers and the teachers. And the unintended consequences of doing that dropped our average wage in the state by over $5,000. Also, the other unintended consequence of that was those people put that money into health care and retirement, so we didn't collect income tax or sales tax because they couldn't spend that money in the economy. And that really is holding us back as an economy. That's the unintended consequences of what happened when he did that.
Jerry, thank you for that. And Stephen, getting at what you were talking about earlier, some people not putting the money back into the economy, but using it in other places that they need it more, maybe.
I think that's correct.
All right, Jerry, thank you for that. Pat joins us next in Hartford. Pat, hello.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
I work for a manufacturer in Hartford. We're a foundry, and we are having trouble filling manufacturing jobs, permanent, sustainable, relatively high, or at least well-paying jobs, and have actually for quite some time. So while I don't agree necessarily that what Walker says is guaranteed to be true, at least in this little niche of Wisconsin, or area of Wisconsin, there are jobs available that have been hard to fill.
Pat, thanks a lot for that. And what do you think about that?
You do get in some parts of Wisconsin where you have some larger employers that are having a difficult time, and they are finding that they're needing to increase their wages and whatnot, which is positive. But this gets back to the transportation question that we were talking about before, is that you have to look at a much larger labor market area in which to draw those workers, which means that you have to have good transportation system in order for workers to get to those jobs. We see it a lot in the Milwaukee area, where there's a surplus of labor in the city and a shortage of workers out in the suburbs, but you cannot get from the city out to the jobs in an efficient manner, in an effective manner. You get the same thing in a lot of rural Wisconsin, where you just have to draw from such a large labor pool or a large labor market that it just doesn't make sense for people to commute to fill these jobs. And then you add on top of that a deteriorating road system, and it makes it even more difficult.
Do other cities have solutions that work to that commuting problem?
Appleton has been fairly aggressive in terms of trying to come up with rideshare-type programs where employers will actually try to put together rideshare vans. There's been some success with that. Some employers are being a little bit more aggressive in terms of providing those things. Other things like offering on-site childcare often opens up a pool of labor that wasn't available before. So the old school manufacturer of just put an ad in the window and people will start knocking on the door, those days are gone. Employers need to get much more creative in terms of trying to attract workers and retaining those workers. And it starts with decent wages and decent benefits, and then it's above and beyond that.
One more quick call from Stephanie in Duluth. Stephanie, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share?
I just wanted his comments on, first of all, I just want to say thank you for your input. It is fair.
And we're short on time, Stephanie. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. I just was curious about his take on what Governor Walker's trying to do to the unions.
All right, Stephanie, thanks for that and your kind words to Stephen. I'm sure didn't go unnoticed, but Stephen, what do you have to say about how the union legislation affected the economy?
Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate that. I think that the right to work legislation, and forget about Act 10, let's not talk about that, but the right to work, I think, is actually driving us in the wrong direction. I think when you look at states that have a right to work, they generally are generating lower paying jobs and with less benefits. So again, it's this bifurcation of the labor market, and right to work is essentially feeding more jobs into that lower end of the spectrum than the better paying jobs that we really kind of want.
Steve, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That was Stephen Deller, professor and community development specialist in the Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics at UW-Madison.